This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing. Thanks for joining us on the Compendium. We are talking about dragons this week, more specifically Dragonborn, the other, I think, more unique race in the player's handbook, kind of right up there, I think, with tieflings. And so we are going to be diving into the Dragonborn, their ancestry, some of the unique skills and traits that they get being descended from dragons, and kind of getting you set up to play a dragon in your campaign.
Yeah, Dragonborns are unusual, and actually they're kind of a new addition to Dungeons & Dragons. They made their appearance, when I remember correctly, in 4th edition. And so 5th is the first, like, I'm going to get hate for this, like, real edition that had Dragonborn in it. Because a lot of people didn't like 4th because it was so different than everything that had come before. It felt more like a video game, like World of Warcraft or something, than it did like 2nd edition or 3 or 3.5. So 4th edition took a hard right turn. And then 5th kind of feels more like how 2nd edition did, but if it was actually made by game designers, and it was. So Dragonborn are a new kind of thing. And I think I remember when 5th came out, Dragonborns and Tieflings were like the hotness. Like, everybody wanted to play those, and then eventually Tieflings just kind of won out because everyone wants to be a Tiefling, I guess. But yeah.
It's demons.
Because demons, y'all. Yeah, exactly. So Dragonborns are really cool. And because they're humanoid looking dragon man people.
Well, I think this one's really interesting, too, because, again, in the player's handbook, there's other races that kind of fit this category as we kind of keep going later on. But even with the tieflings that are so unique and so different, they're still like very common traditional humanoid, if you will. And this is the first one that, you know, it says even in the player's handbook that they hatch from an egg. Like, this one is completely different than anything we've seen up until this point. And it's not, hey, great grandpappy made a deal with the devil or some other kind of aspect or attribute. It's just, it's so unique in and of itself, just by itself.
Yeah, it really is. Because if you think about all the races we've talked about before, they were all kind of created by the gods, right? And with tieflings, they are a influenced by a very powerful entity. And I think Dragonborn fall into that same category where they're also not directly created by the gods and all the creation myths, but rather they are something that was adapted or influenced by a very powerful entity after the fact, in this case, the dragons themselves, or perhaps the dragon gods.
It's not really clear, like, where did they come from? If it's like this wonderful bit of lore that D&D actually left that out, because they're usually so good at filling in those blanks, they just left it up to nobody knows, which is kind of great.
Right. And so, I mean, it's basically they came around during the spell plague in Faerun, which is where the Forgotten Realms is and all that.
There's a spell plague?
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Like, magic went crazy, people died, worlds literally collided. So Toril is the planet that the continent Faerun, that has a coast on it called the Sword Coast, where 5e kind of is
there's a stick on the set. Log in the hole in the bottom of the sea.
Yes. And it all lives inside Chris Perkins' head. Yeah. So Toril is that planet. And before the spell plague, there was another planet dimension called Abir, that kind of merged with Toril, called Abir Toril. And then they split, and some things from Abir kind of got left in Toril, and the Dragonborns are one of them. And so that's why they kind of like just showed up all of a sudden, and no one really knows. But the main idea is that they think that they were created by the very first dragons, or perhaps even by the dragon gods like Bahamut and Tiamat and others, to act as kind of servants or kind of smaller proxies or workers for the dragons. And so that's about as clear as it's going to get, really. There were something in older editions called Dragonkin or Draconians, and they were basically wizard science experiments on unhatched dragon eggs that they could shift and mess with them. Yeah, and make them come out to be dragon people, humanoid things that are very, very different than the dragonborns we have in fifth edition. So there were things like it before, but dragonborns really are a kind of a new thing to D&D.
Yeah. Oh, there's so, I mean, this is hard because the whole thing with the dragonborns is their history. So how do we want to chunk that apart and try to kind of like sort it out to talk about it? Because it's so diverse and so much of their traits is dependent on their history. And so all these things kind of tie together a little differently.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we probably have to talk about the dragons themselves to get a good baseline for the dragonborn, because really the dragonborns are just humanoid versions of the true dragons. The big difference being that they don't have wings, they don't have tails, but they, for everything else, it's kind of the same thing. And so when it comes to dragons, there's two main kinds of dragons. There's the metallic dragons and the chromatic dragons, or the colored dragons, right? And they all have, and they're all like evil opposites of each other. So all of the metallic dragons are good, all the chromatic dragons are evil. And so if you were to have, say, I'm trying to think of a good example, like you'd have a black dragon, you'd have a blue dragon, you'd have,
green
what
dragons,
else?
I know.
Yeah, blue, black, green. Yeah. What else? Why am I? Oh, white dragons. And one more. I can't remember. And red, of course, red dragons. But on the metallic side, you'll have not, you know, a white dragon. You'll have something else. You'll have like a silver dragon. And they both do like ice damage, right? There'll be a gold dragon and it does fire damage like its counterpart in the chromatics with the fire with the red dragons, right? So that's how they kind of split those over, back and forth. And they can look kind of similar because a lot of the colorations are similar. You have to look for that metal sheen to know if it's good guy or bad guy, but that's how they kind of split those. But more or less, they're always going to kind of be based on the same five energy types. And even though some of these are not energy, but that's the kind of the idea is, so you have acid, lightning, fire, and cold and poison.
Right. And we talked about some of those in one of our early on episodes with like, gameplay.
Yeah. And so you'll see things where you have resistance to things, or you have immunity to things, or there are certain spells that can do any of these kinds of damage types. And they're all kind of harkening back to the dragons, who can have different resistances and immunities, and even a breath weapon to spout gouts of fire or cones of cold or poisonous gas or blobs of acid, that kind of thing. And so the dragonborns will kind of follow suit.
So to be clear, or to clear up, I guess, dragonborns are not an evolutionary step down the line from dragons, right? These are kind of two completely separate entities that share like similar DNA or similar like aspects, but it's not like we had dragons and then evolution took its toll and then a million years later, hey, look, now there's a dragonborn. That's right. Not the way this works, right?
No, yeah. It's one of the rare cases where that's not how that works. It goes back to the good old D&D trope of a wizard did it. You know, it's clear manipulation with intention is the best you can say about it, that someone did this on purpose, but probably from a dragon's egg to manipulate it to make it something else. And then now they can interbreed and they can have their own families and kids and grandkids and clans and nations and kingdoms and things. So yeah, they were intentionally made, made from the dragons.
Right. So They don't really, the only thing you're going to get from that are those, like you said, the energy types, because different types of dragons have different kind of interesting abilities. Like when you're looking at the monster type, and none of that's really going to get inherited, right? It's just going to be this very minute, like, corner of dragon monster manual, right? Dragon abilities,
right? They're not inherently magical like some of the other things, and like the dragons themselves, unless you count their breath weapon as a kind of inherent magic, but it's usually kind of seen more as biological, in nature, which is also why they get kind of some resistances to those same kinds of things.
So this, again, for everybody listening, this is going to be a slightly different type of episode because so much of the traits is dependent on the ancestry, that it's not going to really follow our traditional order that we've been doing for races. But going down further down that rabbit hole of the different types of dragons having some of these different energy types, let's actually jump forward to the traits that you can get playing a dragonborn, depending on what dragon you are actually kind of like your family tree is descending from.
Okay, yeah. So there's two kinds that have lightning breath and lightning resistance, one from bronze and one's from blue. So yeah, so both of those are kind of deserty dragons. One's metallic, bronze, one's chromatic, blue, good and evil. Then you've got fire, which is going to be from brass or gold or red. So there's actually two metallics and one chromatic that can do that. And then you have acid, which is black or copper, both swamp kind of environments, and they can spit, you know, balls of acid. And then you've also got cold, so white and silver, both Arctic biomed things. And then you have the lowly green dragon with poison.
Poor green dragon.
But interestingly enough, some of the dragons, particularly the metallics, I want to say, oftentimes have a secondary breath weapon that the dragonborn descendants don't have, which is kind of interesting.
I mean, you can just assume that it got lost over time, because again, like maybe that original dragon, that dragon egg that was manipulated did have that. But then over time with, you know, as they were breeding and all of this, like those traits just started to kind of get repressed, or something, which could be kind of interesting to have a character that talks about his great, great, great grandfather that could do X, Y, Z, or, you know, has these like family lore stories about abilities that were lost to time or something like that. That could be kind of an interesting homebrew.
Right. And to even add to more kind of like little quirks and stuff, you have the sorcerer, origin of a draconic bloodline, which is a class thing, not a race thing. And there it really is like, you know, granddaddy was a dragon kind of thing. And where some of those traits will start popping up, including like some like faint scales on the skin, a breath weapon sometimes even wings popping out like the dragon ancestor that weirdly the dragonborns don't have. So there's a lot of little draconic, you know, DNA flying around out there.
It just leaves, I mean, it's just like tieflings, it leaves a lot of room for you to get creative and just build something truly unique and original with it, which is, I think, is awesome. Thanks for tuning into the compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you are always the first to know every time a new episode is published. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can also follow us on social media by looking up The Compendium, that's C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.